Translation: the devotee with their perfect eyes see the Chandrika form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings, all adorned with garlands. Say it.
Yeah, except the glowing ones.
See the transcendental form.
See the transcendental form
of the Purusha.
Of the Purusha,
who has thousands of legs.
Who has thousands of legs,
thighs,
arms,
and faces.
And faces,
all extraordinary.
All extraordinary.
In that body, there are thousands.
There are thousands
of heads.
Of heads,
ears,
eyes,
and noses.
And noses.
They are decorated with thousands of helmets.
With thousands of helmets.
And glowing earrings.
And glowing earrings.
And adorned with garlands.
And adorned with garlands.
Hey, that could be a good seller, glowing earrings. How could we do that? It's going to glow in the dark or something. Purport. With our present materialized senses, like me, we cannot perceive anything of the shed of the Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service, and then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. In the Brahma Samhita also, it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. You know that verse? Premanjana Chaita Bhakti Vilochanena Anna. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes, smeared with devotional service. In the material world, also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth in his different forms. He is formless to the neophyte, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servant. You got the airport already?
No, 11:04. Just want to make sure it's coming.
The verse again, you can read.
The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body, there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings, adorned with garlands.
So, the emphasis again, Prabhupada is making in the purport, the Lord can only be seen by devotional service. Premam janacharita bhakti vilochanena santasa daira ida yesu dai prayanta yom kuru. What is the next one? Lokam.
Sham sundaram achinte guna sarupam.
Govinda maari kudishu.
Pushkar mandai.
Yeah, Pushkar. So what is the qualification? One's eyes have to be anointed with the salve of love. Then one can see. So that means we have to change from the sensuous gaze of inspection. Bhaktisiddhanta coins that phrase. So we're looking with that sensuous gaze of inspection. Sensuous means we're looking to something to please our senses. The eyes being one of the senses. We want to see some beautiful object, some beautiful woman. If we say, oh, you know, there's a beautiful person over there, some famous, we want to see. But this is our disease condition. So the cure is, we should see the deity, see the form of the deity, see the devotee. Like sometimes I see a picture of Prabhupada, he looks so handsome, he's like a movie star. So use our eyes in that way. And then, gradually, we can give up this disease condition, trying to enjoy with these eyes. Bhaktisiddhanta, he came in front of the deity, and they said, oh, Maharaj, you can't, from here you can't see too well. He said, that's okay. Let the Lord see me. Now he was in the mood of being enjoyed by the Lord rather than taking darshan. Oh, let me see. But his mood, of course that's also there. But his mood was, let the Lord see me. Prabhupada said, don't try to see God. That's also coming from Bhaktivedanta. Don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will see you. So this is the proper mood. Then, when we have that mood, then we'll be able to see, like we were saying last time, we'll be able to see Krishna everywhere, in every circumstance. In the taste of water, in the light of the sun. Yeah, everybody's seeing the light. But we don't connect it with Krishna. But as we progress in spiritual life, then we'll be able to actually become Krishna conscious. This is what's wanted. Krishna consciousness is wanted. Now we have ego consciousness. What's in it for me? What's my position? What is my advantage? We're always thinking like this, profit and loss. It's natural because we love ourselves the most. But gradually we come to think, well, what's Krishna's profit? What's the advantage for Krishna in this that I'm doing? And then we'll become actually devotees. So it's not that we can imitate that stage, but that's the stage, Atmanivedanam, when we're actually doing everything spontaneously for the pleasure of the Lord. Spontaneously. Not out of duty. But there are 9 processes of devotional service. The last two, Shaktyam Atmanivedanam, are spontaneous stage. Raghunuga stage. When we're actually friendly with the Lord. Seeing ourselves as the friend of the Lord. And when we are completely ready to do whatever he wants. Like the cowherd boys. They're not going to the pastures out of duty. Oh, today I have to go to the pasturing ground because this is my duty. No, they're just doing it because they love it. They love to be with Krishna. They love to... it's out of love, not out of duty. Mm. So gradually, we can change. Now we're doing things out of duty. Sadhana bhakti means out of duty. Mm. And as we progress, it will become spontaneous. But we can't imitate and jump over and think, oh, now I'm at the spontaneous stage, Raghunuga, when we're not actually qualified. Right? Therefore, when the devotees in Prabhupada's time, they created the Gopi Bhava Club. Prabhupada said, no. First of all, deserve, then desire. You can desire to be a gopi, but you have to deserve, first of all. What is your quality? You're still lusting after ordinary women, then how can you claim that you're going to become a gopi? No. To become... first of all, we have to become pure. We have to become, at least come to the point of nishta, anartana vritti. We have to be finished with all our anarthas. Then we become nishta. Then we can gradually develop positive spiritual emotions that we can relish, ruchi, ashakti, bhava, prema. These things are all reserved for those who have passed beyond the stage of anartana vritti and become at least the nishta. Nishta is the basis. Steady. It means that we're not being jerked around by our mind. Mm. The mind is our enemy. So the beginning of yoga is how to control the mind. So we're still at that stage of controlling the mind. But it's easy for us because if we keep Krishna in the center, just like we were making that point last night, if our goal is actually to assist Prabhupada in his mission, and we keep some integrity to that goal, we're honest about that goal, then we can do anything. We can go to school, we can do... But it has to come gradually, you know, without cheating ourselves, to the point that, yeah, now I'm trying to please Prabhupada more and more. I'm trying to assist Prabhupada more and more. And then these qualities will come to us naturally. We don't have to artificially try for the different qualities that we see in the pure devotee. The 26 qualities are listed there, beginning with being kind and patient and expert and poetic, all these things. We don't have to think, oh, well, the devotee's poetic, so let me study poetry or go to the school. That's not necessary. All we have to do is, without duplicity, honestly, act in such a way that will assist you to Prabhupada, according to our capacity. Then, everything else will follow. So this is the simple method. We don't have to become yogis and drill our breath and sit in a certain way and go to the Himalayas. No, whatever we do, we do it for Prabhupada's pleasure. So this is the mood of devotional service. And there are some things that we should, you know, everybody has to agree. What is Prabhupada, what pleases Prabhupada? Just like, to me it's very clear that Prabhupada was pleased, you could say concerned about his ISKCON society. So we should also have some concern. If we see it's going off, but then we should, you know, raise our hand and wave a red flag. Wait a minute, why are we doing this? This is not going to be pleasing to Prabhupada. If we become too bureaucratic or too organized or too controlling, that's not going to be pleasing. Or we become too liberal or that we don't care anything for any authority, that also. So there has to be a balance how to keep this society going in a cohesive form. He didn't want to, he saw that his spiritual master's movement disintegrated after Sri Bhakti's 11. He didn't want that to happen to ISKCON. But that's just one thing that we know that Prabhupada wanted. And we can assist in some ways in that direction. Just like you're going to Jacksonville, then you should speak to Seisha or somebody. You're going to be the GVC, but he's going to go, you know, nothing. Seisha doesn't come and interfere or something, but just to keep the, so that people can say, well, yeah, we have a temple, we have a GVC.
Come to you.
So that, that we can present it in a united way. And that, you know, there should be some standard. We every day we chant some sanskrit. We don't tend to, you know, you go to Chiprari's temple or somebody, they have a completely different standard.
What do they chant?
They don't chant some song at all. I haven't been there, but I've heard reports that they chant some other things. They don't read the Prabhupada's books. This is our standard. So, Prabhupada wanted that. He saw that it was necessary in order to make more of an impact on the society in general. Otherwise, just like when a pope dies, everybody knows it because there's an organization. If the pastor, the bishop, so-and-so died, nobody knows. Because he's just got a little group, like we're buying this church from a guy who's a bishop. He calls himself a bishop. He's self-created bishop, black guy. So if he dies, it's not going to be in the big papers or something, because he's got a little group. But if we make, you know, a clear society, then it can be more influential in the world. That's, you know, that was Prabhupada's point. He was so full of compassion, he knew he had the real, genuine article, therefore he wanted to present it in such a way that it would influence the most amount of people. So we should keep that mood. And it's a dynamic thing, because it's not just mechanical, how to keep the proper mood. It's easy to become too much in this direction. And therefore, you know, we should cooperate. We should be open to hear guidance. Like Aditya is a new man, but still, he has insights into things and he's intelligent. So, why don't we can't say, oh no, you're new, we don't want to hear from you. No, we hear from everybody who's got something to bring, constructive, how we can improve. But of course, it has to come to that standard of what's pleasing for Allah. So that's just the real point of being a devotee. For us, pleasing Prabhupada. And that's easier. You know, Krishna may be far away, who knows what Krishna wants, but Prabhupada is more concrete for us. The Germans used to have a saying, God for us. They spoke theology, you know. What is God for us? But God for us, at least in life, is pleasing Prabhupada. And we know, if we actually please Prabhupada, you'll know that Krishna is pleased, and that the demigods will be pleased, and everybody will be pleased. There's anybody who's not envious. So, I ask you for comment, now you have to make one.
I have a question, actually. Like in the Prabhupada's, he's formless to the neophyte, but he's in that sense that form to the expert.
Yeah, so, because we can't see God, therefore we assume that he's has no form. That means Kanista, for the most part. Go ahead.
Question. After you.
Oh. In other words, it's a more advanced state. And it, therefore it's difficult. People will say, no, how can you say God has a form? Well, he doesn't have a form like you. His form is Tachitananda Vigraha. With his, that form he can eat with his eyes. So, you have to explain, what is his form? Eternally youthful.
Okay. What was the question? The God has no form?
No, because he wrote for the Prabhupada, he read.
But he is formless to the neophyte, but he is in a transcendental form to the expert servant.
Okay, so what was your question?
What does it mean that he is formless to
the neophyte?
Yeah.
Devotees who are impersonalists, they're also trying to be, become, transcend.
Yeah.
They're trying to be spiritualist and they want to realize God, but so they cannot see God's form. So they try to realize God in other ways, which is a neophyte, you know, level of spiritual life. Yeah. So they come to a certain level, then after some lifetimes, they come to a higher level. There's no loss in it, but the Mayavadis are considered
offenders.
So the neophytes, so people who believe God has no form,
they can be innocent, just like the four Kumaras.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
First was, they don't know, and then when they get introduced to the form of the Lord, maybe through through the devotees or through the paraphernalia related to the Lord, like the Kumaras, they said they smell the incense and tulsi leaves off of the Lord, then they were attracted to that, so they were innocent. But the Mayavadis, they openly say, no,
they are God.
Not that so much, but that Krishna's form is material.
Material. They don't think God is formless.
They do, but they think the form that we experience, or that we, you know, Krishna's coming, they think that this is, so they offend against the personality of God when he does come in his form. Yeah. That's what they do, too, most of them. They say, oh no, this is, Krishna is not.
But also Mayavadis think everybody's God. Something like that, right? There's a difference between impersonalists and Mayavadis.
But
impersonalists think that God has no form, but they believe in some higher truth or something. But they don't consider God has a form. But the Mayavadis think that everything is one.
But on top of that, Lord Chaitanya says they're offenders.
Right.
Why are they offended? Because he was, or Krishna himself is right in front of them, like Duryodhana, but they still think he's just an ordinary person like me. So he becomes an offender then.
My question. How, like you mentioned, how we do sadhana bhakti as a duty, and automatically we will attain Raghunuga platform, automatically. I wonder how that works. I mean, how things could happen automatically. I mean, you know, like, we've seen so many devotees practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years, you know.
It's not mechanical.
How does it
change? If you take the process seriously, like chanting Hare Krishna every morning,
right.
If you do it with devotion, I mean with a out of duty, but with the idea that this is the best thing for me, and that's also material, you know, you're doing it for yourself, but you're doing it seriously, you're listening very carefully to the holy name, then Krishna will say, well, this person is so sincere to chant my name, he's doing it regularly without fail, he has faith in the order of his spiritual master, who told him to do this, so let me give myself a little bit to him. From his side, Krishna can take the initiative. So then suddenly the devotee is getting a little higher taste for the chanting. It's not just mechanical.
But also, Maharaj, there's five relationships one has to be in one of those relationships, right?
No, that comes later.
Don't we have to, like, at least think about it? Mm-hmm. Like, don't we even have to, like...
No. You don't have to think about it. That'll be revealed to us.
Mm.
From that side. We just should take the order of the spiritual master as our life and soul. Prabhupada said, that was my success. I look around me and think, how did this come out successful? He was even surprised himself. So many people. So, you know, like we're struggling here to get We don't get anybody to come. Prabhupada would say, how did this success come? So many thousands of people are chasing after. He said, I look inside, the only thing I can see is I took the order of my spiritual masters, my life and soul. So what we have to take, the order of Śrīla Prabhupāda as our life and soul. And then it'll come. But we can't take the order of the spiritual master as our life and soul unless we have some affection for him. So it's not just mechanical. We're doing it because we have affection for Prabhupada. Like Satsarup had the service of typing manuscripts. So he would type and every morning he would bring his finished typing to Prabhupada. So one morning he came and Prabhupada could see that he was doing it like mechanical. So Prabhupada stopped and he said, don't think this is just something mechanical. You're doing it out of love. I mean, it should be done out of Prabhupada. I forget the exact wording, but he indicated to them that it should be done. I'm loving you because you're doing it and you should love. So he brings us gradually. We're doing it mechanically, but if we do it seriously, sincerely, then it'll come above that mechanical stage. We'll start to feel. Yeah. The reciprocation. Prabhupada is concerned about us. He'll get involved in our life. He'll help us. But we have to, again, keep the point in. We're trying to please him. And that's not so easy because our habit is to please ourselves.
And this is the wonderful thing about Prabhupada's movement. He created such a dynamic preaching movement. I mean, that's what keeps me going in some ways, you know. Otherwise, you know, just joining some Gopi Bhav club or some, you know, just some living your spiritual life just for your own bhajan. That's not what Prabhupada's idea of ISKCON was. Prabhupada's idea of ISKCON was it should be a dynamic, like, you know, you go out every day, 2-3 days a week, and, you know, it's such a, this is Prabhupada's mood. So, but, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying in Bhajan Rahasya, you know, there's a term called Sajatiya. It means one should associate with devotees who have similar mood. So this is Prabhupada's mood, and we need to maintain that the preaching, just a comment, the preaching is the highest level of devotional service in many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, the gopis, they're all wanting to bring conditioned souls to Krishna. That's their mood. This is the mood of Radharani.
Especially what you're
saying. So we cannot minimize ISKCON saying that...
Because we go to Radharani and the gopis to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda.
Yeah.
So we see what Chaitanya is sending, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda's mood, Lord Chaitanya's mood is to bring not just hide in some room and do our own bhajan throughout the whole day, and this is not Prabhupada's mood.
Not at all.
So this is, you know, this is what's inspiring for myself. I feel so inspired by this mood of Prabhupada, you know, how he starts.
And it's going on like that all over the world. Right. Many people are in that mood.
I mean, I don't think, you know, like some other institutions, they emphasize so much on bhajan, so much on, you know, nirjan bhajan. I mean, I think it's better than nothing, of course, but that's not our mood. That's not Prabhupada's mood. He didn't want us to just live in Vrindavan and, you know, live a retired
life. Yeah, he could have just lived in Vrindavan and we would have never known him.
He never wanted that. He wanted us to preach.
We did see his example.
Right. You know, sometimes there's criticism that, oh, what do you want to preach? You know, we don't know any high levels of devotional service and this and that. What are we going to preach? But if we don't preach...
What do you mean? Just preach, you're not just body. Nobody knows that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm up there in Canada. There's not one person on campus who could actually believe that they're not the body.
And it's important to, you know, seek higher association, but at the same time, we should not become so.
But it should be in the mood of those who are in the same mood as us. Jati, you call
it? Sajatiya.
But isn't there a caste like Jati? What's the caste called? Joshua. Somebody's in the same group, like a Gupta, isn't there a word for that, Hindi word?
Yeah.
Samaj?
No. It's called,
You're supposed to marry in your own...
Right, what do you call that? Gotra. Gotra?
That could be it.
But what I'm saying about it is, you know, this is a special mood Prabhupada has given us. I mean,
none of the God brothers had that same mood.
Right, and they were mostly just absorbed in their own little mark, and, you know, they weren't preaching.
Prabhupada took up the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta and he preached. And this is what I feel inspired. Otherwise, I even find hard to just be a devotee if I don't preach. Yeah? I mean, I don't know a whole lot right now, but I still try to do it my own way. Yeah?
Anyway, this is the season to make money, so that's... But you need, as long as you use the money, it's Krishna's service. Okay, we'll stop here. Shri Bhagavatam Ki.
By the way, I'll pledge $500 for a new temple.
Hey! How about that?
If you buy the temple, I'll give you $500.
Thank you very much. This question.
Any kind of this?
If you buy the temple.
Not
make sure you buy it.
That's a good condition.
You took care of the offering, the one offering of Krishna. Some service.
Appreciate it.